Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shabmar Quits. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also, your hosts on our website and podcast, KE Report. Throughout the week, as we cover these continued volatile markets, however, it seems like not a whole lot has changed in these markets over the last couple months. We've gotten the odd bounce here and there that really just correlated with every sector moving in tandem as the U.S. markets bounce for a month and then seem to retrace for a month and a half to 2 months, almost this stair-stepping pattern down that still has everybody broadly focused on bear markets. Because, quite frankly, a lot of sectors are in bear market territory right now. We are kicking off the show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, it's become a tradition to every 2 weeks have you on the weekend show and get your updated analysis on a wide range of sectors. You use your internal models to ignore a lot of the headlines and news that comes out day after day. And you've been quite spot on with your analysis, playing some of the bounces and having your strategy that you've outlined a number of times of hitting singles or doubles, not really looking for that home run in these type of markets. Look, we can recap all the different sectors we talked about a couple weeks ago, but I do want to ask you, when we are in this environment where not much has changed, still seems like the same playbook and the same trends that are in place, how does that impact your portfolio management?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. So like you mentioned, it is an environment where we're not trending consistently lower or consistently hitting new highs. So in that type of environment, it's more of a trading environment. There are two sides to trading, right? They're buying and selling. And on the selling side, you could incorporate shorting, certainly. So within this type of kind of a constrained environment, you have to use all those tools. So you do some buying when you're at your support levels or the criteria, whatever criteria you're using dictates that you should be buying. And then don't be afraid to take profits or if you're so inclined to be shorting once we hit resistance. And this I'm going to call it a bear market because that's what we still think it is. But this bear market has pretty much been textbook in that, you know, we had the sell-off since the beginning of the year, bottomed pretty much around where we figured it might in, you know, early summer, June, got the nice bear market bounce in many of the indices, failed right where they should in many cases in mid-August, which is textbook. And then now we're stabilizing right where many of those stock indices should as well on the downside. So there's a pretty, I mean, if you look historically at sell-offs, corrections, bear markets, there's a pretty, which is opposed to bull market behavior, there's a pretty consistent template that bear markets follow. So they get that initial sell-off, they get that bear market bounce that retraces usually a consistent, you know, percentage of that initial decline. Then you pull back and either, you know, hold that support, which we're testing right now, or you break through and then eventually you test the prior lows, eventually probably break those and hit that next wave down, those next targets down. So right now we're pretty much following that roadmap. It has worked really almost to a T since, you know, the beginning of the year or since we bottomed in June. So I think last time we spoke was 2 weeks ago, right before Jackson Hole. So our models were indicating an increase in risk again. So we shorted pretty aggressively stocks and cryptos right before Jackson Hole, which has worked out very well. Right now, we indicated also last time they're probably gearing up for a test of critical, what we call must-hold support levels within the pullback. And we've tested that. We're doing that testing over the last week or so. I've held that support so far. So we have gone bullish here in the short term, but again, this will be more or less a trade for us. So we're already into the bounce over the last couple of days, already taking some profits on some of those trading longs.
Well, and Dana, when we talked last, you said one of the indicators that you watch in your quant system, kind of tied to breadth and to sentiment and momentum, had shifted positive. And you thought, well, we may get a little bounce here. But you mentioned to us off mic before we started recording that it's already kind of shifting back to negative, and you thought that was unique. I'd love you just to unpack that and how that may portend that we are going to go down and test the lows again.
Sure. Yeah, it's one, I would call it a critical indicator. We actually call it critical rank and been using it for, in some variation, actually for 40 years, to be honest. And it's not prone to a lot of whiplashes. So when it did turn positive, like I said, I believe late July, early August, it was, despite our inclination that it was probably a bear market bounce and we're in a bear market environment, it was something we had to respect because it's guided us so well for many decades. So when it did turn positive, we had to respect it. We did add additional long exposure at that time. Since, like you mentioned, as we spoke about before the show, it has since, over the last week or 10 days, it has started to turn down again, which, like I mentioned, it's not prone to a lot of whiplashes. So that behavior within that indicator is a little bit, is a red flag for us right now, because it does typically trend, and once it turns, it's difficult to turn it back down. So under what I would call a normal bull market turn, normal bull market behavior, if we're heading back to the highs, I would expect that it would be continuing to move higher or stabilizing, at least despite the weakness in the market action over the last couple of weeks. But like you mentioned, it has begun to turn down, which is a bit of a red flag for us, certainly. And it would certainly kind of corroborate our views that we are still within the confines of a bear market. That post-June bounce was more or less a bear market rally, and we're probably destined to turn lower again and initiate another down wave eventually here.
Dana, big picture, how worried are you about a crash scenario? Because we keep on hearing how the Fed's going to hike us into a recession, or we're already in a recession. The markets are going to keep on correcting. But again, it's been such an orderly correction. There are a lot of people worried about a crash, a waterfall decline.
Yeah, those waterfall declines usually come at the end of, you know, a longer term bear market. So I don't think we're at that phase necessarily at this point. We have had, you know, some constructive price action and breadth action since June, which did certainly contribute to our risk model turning positive. But again, that's on thin ice again right now. But from at this point, I don't think we're necessarily at risk of necessarily a crash. The other thing that did contribute to prices stop when they stopped going down in June was the fact that people did, a lot of investors finally did adopt a lot of hedging, whether it's options or inverse ETFs and the like. Once you're significantly hedged, obviously you have no reason to continue selling, which is one reason, or the reason that declines usually stop. So right now we're seeing a little bit, after the sell-off the last couple of weeks, we're seeing some decent hedging activity, which also contributed us to our bullish call over the last week and our expectations for maybe even a little bit further of a bounce. So I don't think the market's necessarily set up for a crash, but in some cases it's going to be a little bit more damaging than a crash. One of those longer term cyclical bear markets that continue to grind lower, because you don't get that capitulation type move where everyone gives up and then the market can turn around quickly and start running higher. In a real bear market, which a lot of, you know, younger investors may not have experienced yet, you continue to grind lower for, you know, many, many months or years even. And you don't have necessarily that capitulation or crash type of an event, like you saw, you know, during the COVID crash. That was not, you know, necessarily a cyclical bear market. That was the crash type scenario that you mentioned. So I don't think necessarily, especially if this is a longer term bear market, you're going to get necessarily crash or waterfall type declines. That would be a capitulatory type move. That'll probably come at the end of it, which is probably a ways away still. Doesn't mean that we don't have serious risk to the downside here eventually once this bounce is over, though.
Some solid points there, Dana, because most bear markets don't just last 6 to 8 months. They last 12 to 18 months or sometimes 2 years. So there's probably still more to it. I guess that brings up the question, though, if everybody's kind of more hedged now against the downside and there may not be that waterfall decline, would you be tempted to still short the markets if support breaks? Or would you think that it's just better to be on the sidelines in that kind of scenario?
We'll be more inclined to start initiating some more shorts into bounces and to strength to some resistance levels. If we do see support levels broken, like some of the significant support that we've seen in the U.S. indices that are currently holding, if we saw a breakdown of those, like you said, we wouldn't necessarily start chasing that and throwing on a lot of hedges, just like once when we're in a one of those consistent, just persistent bull markets that continue to hit new highs. It's not necessarily something that we want to chase day after day, but we certainly would not be averse to lightening up, raising a lot of cash, and getting a lot more defensive in that way, and wait for a better risk reward opportunity to initiate some more shorts. So I think that would be the strategy. And looking, you know, overseas, Europe is definitely a trouble spot where we've been short for a while, covered a lot of our shorts at the end of last week. That has some bounce potential, but it's already testing those summer lows. So that's one area of the equity market that is extremely susceptible or vulnerable to, you know, some major damage if those lows get broken. So that's one area that we'd be definitely focused on in any short efforts or shorting campaign here, probably in the next days or weeks.
So Dana, are there any sectors that you're long and comfortable with those long positions, as if it's not just a short-term trading vehicle in terms of a bounce?
Yeah, well, there's one sector, you know, when we're looking for a short-term like macro bounce, or short-term trade, we'll pretty much jump on any of the indices or any of the charts, whatever charts are the cleanest in our view and support that short-term bounce thesis the most. So, you know, we're long the mid-caps and the Dow and equal weight S&P fund right now over the last week or so just for that bounce. But if you're talking about true relative strength, areas of the market that are actually hitting new highs or threatening to hit new highs. The only sector, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, is utilities. That's the only sector we have like a sizable long position on in terms of, you know, a relative strength allocation, not just a trade. So something like a ticker symbol that we're long is the FXU, for example. It's a utility ETF. Broke out to all-time highs in August, pulled back over the last week or a couple weeks to test that breakout level, and has responded nicely right now. So anything going to new highs, we want to be long. And that's really, if you're looking at the equity sectors, that's really the only area of the equity market that is sitting at highs or testing all-time highs. So that's one area we are comfortably long right now. With that said, if evidence changes, obviously we reserve the right to change our views and our position, but right now that looks great as a long.
Well, shifting from the equities over to the commodity sector, are there any that you think look promising to the upside, or are there any that you're shorting to the downside?
Sure, we would be inclined to sell almost any of the commodity space right now. We think long-term, it's in a bull market, but in the short to intermediate term, I think there is more downside risk akin to what maybe the equity markets saw in spring after the initial wave down, got another wave down in the summer. So I think commodities might be gearing up for another near-term wave down. So basically, we'd be selling most any commodities right now, with the one exception of natural gas, which we are long right now. So that's another area that's recently been at all-time highs, or I should say rally highs over the last month or so, pulling back over the last week and testing some support levels. So if there is one commodity in our view that looks like a long to us, and we are long, that would be natural gas. Now, that one's they don't call it the Widowmaker for no reason. That's notoriously been a difficult trade because it is subject to events and event risk and weather risk and other exogenous type market risk. But right now, from a strict price standpoint, that's that still looks like a long to us, and we are long.
So, Dana, do you care at all the time of the year that we are in, especially a year where there is an election in the U.S. that could cause some volatility, and also the fact now that we are through summer?
So seasonality is always, you know, in the back of our mind. It's not embedded in any of our models, any of our objective indicators that we look at. But it's always, someone's termed it as either a gentle headwind or tailwind to the market. And if you look historically, which bothers some people, but one of the more consistent, one of the more successful trading systems over the last, you know, in the history of the equity market has been seasonality. So it's hard because if it fails one year, then you pretty much scrap it because you got to wait another year for that seasonality to work again or potentially work. So it's hard to put all your eggs in that seasonality basket. But there are consistent themes. And one of those themes, obviously, as most people know, is that the fall can be a treacherous time for stocks, specifically September. So that would be another, definitely another potential headwind for stocks here in this month. Not necessarily the main reason that we would be selling or shorting, but certainly a contributing factor to maybe being a little bit more aggressive in how we are shorting or how much we're shorting.
Well, Dana, another gentle headwind or tailwind, especially to the commodity sector or the precious metal sector, is the U.S. dollar. It's been on quite a run all year long. It did get back above 109 again and tagged 110 just last week or earlier this week. What's your outlook on the dollar as it stands today?
Yeah, that's obviously that's another chart you want to be long, and we've been long for most of the year. Did have a target, I think we've talked about in the show, above 110 in the mid 110 range. So we did take a couple days ago, did take some profits. So we have a small long position on right now in the dollar. The next spot would be probably 114 or so potentially. But it's a chart that we're going to be long until it fails. But as it continues to make new highs, it's not something that we want to chase, like we talked about just, before. We don't want to be chasing necessarily breakouts or breakdowns. But if we get an opportunity on a pullback to support, we'll definitely be looking to add to it, like we did, you know, mid-August, pulled back, held right at support. We added to our position, just took some profits the other day and around the mid 110 range, and nothing's changed the bullish trend. We just don't want to be chasing it necessarily or being overly aggressive right now.
All right, Dana, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you again for jumping around to a number of different markets and also outlining your general trading strategy in a market, again, that hasn't changed all that much from what we've been talking about most of this year. Markets are bouncing off levels that are expected and then also turning back over at other levels that are expected. So until we get, I guess, a more defined breakout or a more defined trend in or change trend, we're still stuck in this general downtrend bear market action. Dana, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you this weekend. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.